mercy, rising with the rising of the sun. Goodness rushing in and filling up my lungs. Your faithfulness is here and now. The evidence is all around. I bless your name. I give you praise. Today is a day for singing. Awake my soul. Come on, praise the Lord. Today is a day for singing. Inside of me, there's a new life. Hallelujah! I have been redeemed. I've been redeemed. I bless your name. I give you praise. Today is the day for singing. Awake my soul. Come on, praise the Lord. Today is the day for singing. Desert to the fountain, oh, I will praise you. From the morning to the evening, as long as I am breathing, today is the day for singing. From the valley to the mountain, the desert to the fountain, oh, I will praise you. From the morning to the evening, as long as I am breathing, today is a day for singing. From the valley to the mountain, the desert to the fountain, oh, I will praise you. From the morning to the evening, as long as I am breathing, today is a day for singing. Today is a day for singing. Today is a day for singing. I bless your name. I give you praise. Today is a day for singing. Awake my soul. Come on, praise the Lord. Today is a day for singing. We're singing. who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, mine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory.
First off, we'll be continuing our session two of our small group Bible study on Jonah tonight. If you'd like to, if you're not involved with that and you'd like to get involved, you see Brother Wade and we can help find you a spot to go. July 24th, this Wednesday, we'll begin watching and discussion of season four of The Chosen from 6 to 7:30. Here at the church, bring a favorite snack to share as we gather together. July 27th, a day at the park, sponsored by NAVA from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Mini Harris Park in Harrison. July 28th, we'll be doing an observance of the Lord's Supper following the morning service. That afternoon, we'll be having Bible study and prayer here at the church starting at 6 p.m. July 30th, nominating committee at 7 p.m. The nominating committee consists of deacons, officers, chairmen, committees. We need a teacher for the 2 to 3 year olds. If you feel led to teach a class, come see Ben Ball. And then August 4th, we'll be having a wedding shower for DJ Colbert and Olivia Morfin at 4 p.m. I think that's all of our announcements. Will y'all pray with me? God, I pray for Brother Wade. God, I pray you just give him the word that you want us to hear this morning. God, I pray for those that were affected by the weather this week. God, I pray you just be with them and comfort them, God. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Charles Wesley wrote hundreds of hymns. You know, along with John, he was one of the founders of the Methodist Church movement. And I don't know if you realize, but many of the hymns that we have in our hymnal are just a few of the verses of what were originally written. As a matter of fact, this next hymn that we're going to sing, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, has 18 verses. Did you know that? But I'm going to have mercy on you, and we're just going to sing 11 of them this morning. Okay, would you stand with me? Glory to God and praise and love be ever, ever give by saints below and saints above, the church in earth and heaven. On this blessed day, the glorious sun of righteousness arose. On my benighted soul he shone and filled it.
Prepare a table in the presence.
are coming forward to take the offering, I want to welcome those of you who may be visiting. There's a blue card in the blue envelope in the pew in front of you to be filled out if this is your first time with us. And we appreciate you doing that and putting it in the offering plate. If you will, we'll get a chance to get to know you a little better. Thank you.
Blessing us here, Lord, as this church family so much as we now prepare to give back a portion of what you've given to us. Help us to reflect on all that you've done for us. Thank you again for your love. Go with Brother Wade now, and Lord, give him the words that we need to hear and apply to our lives and our hearts. Help us to love each other and love the community. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Children's Church, for the way.
You know, it was on and then I shut it off, so I guess I should have looked at it. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right, I was told as I was going around shaking hands through the next song that I was one of those people that you were talking about, Matt. And I guess I'm just rebel by nature. I just kept on going. So I might have got around to everybody. I don't think I quite did. I think I missed a few people. But I thought about just coming up and shaking hands with everybody and getting the choir and the and Monica and Pam and see if they could keep going as... You know, now Tom, I guess I'd have to go around and sneak into him because we keep him safely put away. So, but anyway, well, good morning, everybody. And I was looking, and looks like we're down a little bit on number this morning, and it got me thinking about the blessings, you know. And I wonder how many people woke up this morning with the rain and the hard rain, and probably didn't quite feel like it was a blessing to have the rain. Right, you know, because it sometimes changes our plans, and I wonder how many people that, you know, because I don't have any livestock, so, you know, I don't mind when it snows. I kind of like the looks of snow. When I used to have to cut ice growing up, I didn't care for it. Y'all with me? You know, and I don't mind when it doesn't rain because it doesn't mess up my plans, but I do know that it causes a lot of other people some grief in their livelihood, and also that when I go to the store, I'm going to want produce there eventually, right? So we need the rain, and we need the blessings. And I think about this is all free, by the way. This isn't part of the message. And I think about it. You know, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. And I'm not going to get into that more than just my joke I make about it. It's like, well, which one are we whenever it's raining on us? Because sometimes you feel like you're the unjust because it messed up your plans. And sometimes when we haven't had any rain for a while, you feel like, oh, it's a blessing, you know. And it's interesting that the same rainfall can be perceived by somebody over here that, oh, it's a blessing. And somebody over here that planned on having a picnic, no, it's not a blessing. So anyway, that's just thoughts. But, you know, as I was reading the dictionary, as I often do, I noticed that nothing starts with N and ends with G. I mean, you can look. Nothing does. So, all right. Either that wasn't funny or no one explained it to them yet. So, anyway. All right. Well, if you got your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in Luke chapter 15 eventually. And I think about the parables that Jesus tells, you know, and we look at different parables in the Bible that Jesus tells, and you think about the purpose of a parable is you can remember a story a lot easier than you can remember a fact. For the last year and a half or so, I've been reading a book on Winston Churchill that basically is just a textbook. You know, it's basically just a history textbook, but it's written in such a way that it's a story. And I realize that I remember it a lot better because it's a storybook rather than just a autobiography with just fact. And, you know, so when you look at Jesus' parables and he illustrates points and truths that come through about God, about heaven, about us, about our nature, whatever it is, and we can think about it and we remember it so much easier because it was given to us in a story type form. And so we're going to look this morning at a very common parable that he told, but you know, like I said, we can remember it better because of the way he told it. And when we read parables, we need to also remember they contain condensed wisdom and insight that we don't necessarily see if we're just reading the text, and they're usually condensed truths about the nature of God, like I said, nature of us. And the wonderful thing about parables is you can put yourself in the place of somebody in a parable, and sometimes you can put yourself in multiple places in the parable. And depending on which stage of life you're in, you might be able to put yourself in different places in different stages of life. So as we read what we know as the prodigal son this morning and talk about it, you know, I can fit myself through time and different stages of that parable. And, you know, sometimes, like I say, it's talking to the individual, it's talking to a group of people, it's on different levels that we see. So it doesn't necessarily just have a single meaning when we read a parable. So if you would stand with me this morning as we read Luke, starting in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. It says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them, and not long after that, the younger son got together, and all he had set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country. who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. And I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. And meanwhile, the older son was in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound.' And the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Before we have a word of prayer, I didn't write it down, so I had forgot that it was mentioned earlier. But Kenny Underdown yesterday was, I assume it was yesterday. Kenny got in an incident where he thought he had diesel fuel to burn brush and he had gasoline, and he is in the hospital in Springfield, injured, has some second-degree burns, I believe, on his legs and maybe some other parts as well. Brent, was it on his face and hands too, or just? Vicki had sent a message asking for prayer for him, and we definitely need to pray for him. So we're gonna pray for Kenny at this moment as well. And I meant to do that when I first come up, and I got my order out. But if y'all would join me, though, we want to lift Kenny up, and then we'll go ahead and pray and continue this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings that you give us in whatever form you choose to send them. And Lord, we do pray for all those that are on the prayer list and those that have lost their loved ones and just the many different things, Lord. But we want to lift Kenny up to you this morning and just pray that you would be with him in this incident. Lord, you know all the details better than we do, and we just pray that you'd be with him and give the doctors wisdom how to treat him and him quick healing through this. Lord, I do pray that you would open our hearts and minds to your word this morning. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You all can be seated. So as we look back at our parable here, and I did read the whole thing. I know that was a lot of reading, but it, in context, we see the whole parable at once. And we know that at the beginning of the story, when we read it, we know that we're going to be faced with different choices, right? We're going to see these two sons are going to make vastly different choices. And another thing that we probably know about is that we know this is going to be about relationships, right? So as we look at this parable, we're going to see the different relationships and between all the people in the parable. And often we focus on what the Son did, right? We look at what the Son did, and He come, and He asked for His inheritance now instead of later. And we focus on that, but I think it tells us more about the Father than it tells us about the Son when you look at this parable. If you focus, you know, sometimes we can focus on the one person in a parable and we can miss the points out of the other piece, right? So as you go through and you look at parables, I think it's important to look at each character, if you will, in a parable. And I take this as a parable, as a fictional story that Jesus told. He could have been telling it about somebody that was actually there or somebody they knew. It could have been real people. But I take this as a parable that it was a story to point out a greater truth, through his storytelling. But we see here that the younger son goes on, and he goes up and he says, "Dad, I really can't wait till you die." Now, he didn't use those words, but that's what he said. He said, "I want my inheritance that I'm going to get when you pass on, but I really can't wait till you die. I want it now." You know, and whenever I phrase it that way, he sounds a lot worse than he did before, right? Because before he just sounded a little selfish or a little rambunctious, and now he sounds like a pretty awful guy. At least he does in my mind. But that's essentially what he's saying is, "Dad, I'm done with you. I'm ready to move on." And now we know, just by knowing this parable, we know that he is now in place of what we would say, he's the sinner son, right? He's the one that is going to go off and live wild and do all the things. It says he squandered his money with prostitutes and wild living, right? So we're going to look at him as being that guy. And I look at him as he was honest. If he wasn't anything else, he was honest because he went up and he said, "Dad, I'm just wanting to go and do all this, and I'm done. I'm worn out. Give me my money so I can go." Now, I'm not saying he's a nice guy. I'm just saying he had some honesty in what he said. But he's asking for this inheritance, and he knows he's supposed to receive it. He knows there's a time that he's going to get it, and he even knows the percentage of what he's supposed to get because he's the younger son. He knows what he's entitled to, if you will, for being the youngest son. And he goes and he asks for it, and like I said, the amount was set. He knew his percentage. He'd done his calculations, and he said, "I want to cash it in right now." But what did he do when he cashed in right now? Like, for one, I look at this in many different ways, and maybe this isn't a good point-by-point sermon this morning, but you're going to see how I think about things sometimes. One thing he did was he limited the amount that he would make later. Because if you ever buy stocks, which, and I say stocks, they invested in the four-legged kind, right? And they're breeding, and they're going to have more in years to come, most likely, than he's going to have now. So by cashing out for his percentage now, his percentage is going to be a smaller total than it would be later. Now, to some of us, that may make sense, and you say, "Hey, you're going to short yourself by doing this." But when we look at it from the point of, he said, from a spiritual, let's just flip it to spiritual. He says to the Lord, he says, or we say to God, we say, "Hey, we want to have our fun now. We don't want to wait until later. I want it now." We're not going to have the same type of joy that we would have when we do it God's way and we do it by the law and we do it, well, I say by the law, we do it by his commands in the way that he points out. We're not going to have the same amount of joy. He didn't want to wait on the law and the lawful way. He wanted to receive it now, so he wanted to take the shortcut. And if you think about sin, isn't that what sin really is? It's us saying, "God, I know how to be happier now for me than what you've got planned for me." I mean, we can say it a lot of different ways, right? But we're saying, "God, I really know more about what's going to make me happy than you're going to do to make me happy." Now, and that sounds right. I mean, with my logic, that makes sense, right? With my human logic. But with my spiritual logic, whenever I've done it God's way, and I've been blessed by God in different ways, and I see that His plan is a lot smarter than my plan because He's got a lot more wisdom and a lot more knowledge, and He knows what's going to happen, and He really does know what's going to make me happier more than I know what's going to make me happier. Now, women, I don't know if you can relate to this, but I know the men can, because there's often that the men, you realize that your wife knows what you want more than you do sometimes. Amen? No? There was supposed to be a lot of amens on that, at least from the women. I think Kim's the only one I heard. But you guys get what I'm saying. It's like sometimes you can be blessed because someone's looking out for you and say, this is what they want. And sometimes the gift that I get is a lot better than the gift I would have asked for, you know? And the thing that I get, and God so much knows more. You know, the Bible says that we as fathers, we know how to give good gifts, right? But how much more does the father that, you know, talking about giving your kid a scorpion instead of an egg or whatever, you know, we know to give good gifts, but how much more does God know? How much more does God know what you want than you even want? Because He knows what your true heart's desire is. And this boy went and said, no, I want it now. So he goes and he went on. And, you know, I years ago, I remember I was sitting there and at the store, and Granny and I were having this conversation. And because I grew up at the tire shop, and then I worked there for 11 years before I left, and I think most of y'all know that, but in context. So we would sit there when I didn't have anything going on. We would sit there and sometimes have conversations. And one of the things I said to her one day, we were talking about retiring or whatever, and I was pretty young at the time, and I said, you know, I really think that if somebody would just pay for me to go do whatever I wanted for 2 years, like I could travel, I could do whatever I wanted, and I could just have a good time for 2 years, I would just work until I died and be content. Because I was thinking, I don't want to wait until I retire, because then I'll be old and decrepit and not get around good, and, you know, I'm ahead of the game on some of that. And I could have a lot of fun while I'm young and physically capable. I could have a lot of fun, and 2 years would be worth whatever. You know, that was my logic as a young person. Now, I look back at that, and I think it's kind of foolish, right? You know, after I've had some years to think about it, because I'm hoping if I make it to retirement, I've got more than 2 years to go. And now I'm starting to think of a lot more things than I would have thought of then that I could enjoy. But here's the biggest reason that I think it's foolish. We plan and we think ahead and we've got hope of someday this, right? I was reading that Chuck Swindoll had said once that a man can live 40 days without food, he can live 4 days without water, he can live 4 minutes without air, and about 4 seconds without hope. You take away somebody's hope and you grabbed everything. And you take away my plans for someday what I'm going to do, and that's what that would have done, right? It would have snatched any hope I have of my future plans for that type of stuff. I would not go forth with my work why would I save any money? Why would I do anything if I knew that I was going to work until I died and it was pointless? If we now take that same concept and put into, we don't look ahead and say, Lord, you're going to bless me someday. At the end, you're going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And we don't have any hope of eternity, we don't have any hope of what we're going to get and blessed with later. What's the point of anything? You all with me? You know, so we don't need to trade a little bit of joy now for the blessings later. So what's the father doing here while the boy is living it up? You know, the boy goes off, he's spending his money, he's living it up, he's having a good time, he's got friends all over the place. I mean, he's having a great time, and dad's sitting at home
waiting and watching. The boy, he goes and he spends all of his money, we see, and he doesn't have any money left, and he has to start feeding the pigs. And he starts slopping the pigs, and he starts just scraping by, and he starts getting worse and worse, and until he's just wishing he could eat the pig slop because he's so hungry. He's starving to death. He's lost everything. He has no friends. He's got nothing. He's what we've done said it would have hit rock bottom, right? And what's Dad doing? He's waiting, and he's watching. You know, I look at it and I think as a earthly father, you know, we'd probably be doing a little bit different. I know this is the Heavenly Father that in the parable, right? As an earthly father, we'd probably be crying, we'd be praying, we'd be doubting, we'd be, you know, maybe even trying to find him and wouldn't try to see what's going on, and we would be doing our research and you know, we would be doing all those things and maybe even worrying. But the Heavenly Father, he knows all those things already. He doesn't need to do the praying. He doesn't. He's just waiting and he's watching. What's he watching and waiting for? We see it there in the scripture. In the next text there, it says, there we go. Now this is going back to what we already read, but it says, when he came to his senses, he said, that's what he's waiting for, right? He's waiting for when he came to his senses. And you think about whenever you were running from the Lord, or maybe if you are running from the Lord, he's waiting and he's watching for that right there, for you to come to your senses. He was waiting and watching for me to come to my senses. But in the parable, his father was waiting and watching, and when he came to his senses, he said, those servants that was even under where I was in the house, they had it a lot better than I've got it right now. You see, and that's the same thing a sinner does. A sinner, whenever they're out there doing what they think is going to make them happy, they get to a point and they realize, this really isn't making me happy. You know, if they're a drunkard, they're realizing that this alcohol really doesn't satisfy. If they're on drugs, they're realizing I've got to have more and more all the time because it really doesn't satisfy. It's not making me have joy, and that's what we're really looking for in life, isn't it? We're really looking for joy, and they're looking for happiness today and not long-term joy. And this boy, he came to his senses and he realized, you know what, even the servants, those that was doing what they were supposed to be doing and the Father, what he was commanding of them to do, they were more content with their life than what I thought was going to make me happy. And why did the Father just wait and watch? You know, this was his son's idea. He didn't say, son, get out of my house and here's the money and you go. This was his son's idea to come and say, give me my inheritance so I can leave and go do what I want to do. It's his son that's got to learn this lesson. And he's learning a lesson that the father wasn't able to teach him whenever he was trying to teach him. He's learning a lesson that, unfortunately, sometimes we have to learn the hard way, that it's better to listen and obey than it is to go and do our own thing. He's learning this, like I say, this lesson that this is the only way he's going to remember it. I consider all the lessons that I probably should have learned by being told to do different instead of learning the hard way. And I know one thing I could do is I could hear you a lot better when you talk to me if I'd have listened then. And now I can't listen very well because Dad used to say, you're going to go deaf if you keep shooting those guns without ear protection. And I've spent most of my life trying to prove him right. Amen? You know, and dumb things that I've done. And the biggest lesson that I still haven't learned is, why do I still have to learn things the hard way? You know, whenever the Lord tells us to do things, there's still things that I say, well, Lord, I'm going to do that my way today. And that doesn't bring me joy. That doesn't bring me happiness. I may be the only one here. I hope I'm the only one here that can say that sometimes I still have to learn those things the hard way. But he came to his senses. He went home, and he just wanted to be a servant. He says, if I could just be a servant, at least I won't be starving. He says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, he says in the text. And I have a great question as I read that. What in the world did he do to be worthy to be called the son anyway? He was born. He hadn't done anything to be worthy. The same way that we don't do anything to be worthy to be called children of God, right? He was born. We have to be born again. We have to accept Christ as our Savior, but we didn't do anything to have that salvation other than believe that he gave it to us. See, he just wanted to be a servant, but he was a son, and he just had to admit that he was wrong. And he goes home, and when he gets home, we see that he was on his way, and the father ran to him and welcomed him back and said, we need to slaughter the fattest calf. We need to celebrate because my son that was lost is now returned. What we see in here, like I said, we focus a lot on the son, but what we see in the father is a father that is patiently waiting and watching and ready to forgive. And so many times we get to that point and we say, you know, we're sleeping with the pigs, right? We want to eat with the pigs. We're doing all this stuff to make us just completely unclean, because in their culture, pigs was completely unclean, right? And he's with the pigs, and we can say, I don't even deserve to go back to the church. I don't deserve to be able to go and pray to God. He won't even hear me, and we believe those lies sometimes, and all we have to do is come to our senses and return. And the Father, the picture we see of the Father is he's waiting and willing to accept him when he returns. And then we see the older son, and he gets upset, right? And he says, well, this son of yours that went out and squandered all your money and done all this stuff, and I've been sitting here the whole time. I've been obedient, and I love the word he uses. He didn't say, I've been obedient. He didn't say, I've been loving. He didn't say, you know, I've been loving you and obedient and doing everything you want me to do. What word does he use? He says, I've been here slaving away for you this whole time, and you care more about him than you do about me. I hope. Now, let me back up so you know what I'm thinking here. I think this is a major picture of Israel. If you look at Israel, you've got the father, and he's got two types of sons. He's got the religious leaders that have been faithful all the way through and obedient and stayed, and then there's the people that has fallen away and the prostitutes and the other things that the boy squandered his life with, right? We even sing about them in the song, those people that have fallen away. And I think that's the two types of people, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the thieves, the everything, and then you've got the religious leaders. And that's the two type of people. And the religious leaders are saying, we've been here sacrificing and slaving away, and you're just coming and saying that all these other people just can come and celebrate and be back. Hopefully we don't come to church thinking we're slaving for the Lord in that sense. Amen? Hopefully our mindset isn't we're being obedient to God by slaving away. Hopefully we have a mindset that we want to be here, we want to serve him, we want to do. But even though he had stayed where he was supposed to be, doing the thing he was supposed to be doing, he's just as wrong in my mind as the son that went out and squandered everything, because he's not doing it with the heart that he's supposed to be doing it with. He says, every day I've been slaving for you. And the father says, all I have is yours. So even to this son, he said, all I have is yours. Your happiness, you're saying that your happiness, your joy has been missing, obviously, because you've been out in the pasture slaving away. All you have to do is ask, and I would have given you a fatted calf to have a party with your friends. All you have to do is ask. And how often do we do the obedience out of duty and not out of joy, and we miss out on real joy because we never say, Lord, I realize that you love me and that you want what's best for me, and all I have to do is ask. He was serving, but he wasn't doing it with the right attitude, if you will. Do you think that this would have changed the relationship with all these people? When they come to realize these truths that are just sitting there the whole time? I think the relationship between the father and the young man, I think the young man was humbled. I think that he was humbled. He knew that, hey, life's a lot better here than out there doing my thing, my way. Life is complete and content here. I think the older one, I think he was enlightened. He realized, I've just been sitting here, not enjoying. I've just been sacrificing for no purpose. I've been suffering for no purpose, because suffering's not a good thing in and of itself unless it brings you to something better, right? You know, I think we should suffer, and I think we should sacrifice in our lives, but it should be to the ultimate purpose of joy, not for the fact of just suffering. I think their relationship was changed on all areas there. And as we look at it, as we study it, as we think about it, I think we fit into one of those categories. You know, where are we? Are we sleeping with the pigs? Are we slaving in the pasture? Are we celebrating and having the joy because we know that we're a son for a reason? We're a son because we chose to be. I'm going to ask the song leader to come this morning. You know, I've got this last question for you is, where are you at this morning? You know, I don't know your heart. I don't know what the Lord's dealing with you on. But if you're here this morning, you've never accepted him as your Savior, I'm going to ask, come. We'll pray about it this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and there's just something else going on and you're trying to make a decision about something and you need guidance. And, you know, we'll come up and we'll pray about that too. What song are we singing?
142.
Everybody stand.
There is. Thank you.
quiet tonight at, well, it'll be 6 o'clock here, right, at the church. If you're not plugged into a small group, know that that one's happening here always, so come join that. And then whatever times at the other prospective locations. And we are going to, as mentioned earlier, we're going to start the Chosen series, Season 4, here at the church, and hopefully be able to come and have some time to help fellowship and enjoy watching that show and then discuss that, hopefully. And that's the plan. Something a little different than we've done before, I think, and it was mentioned and seemed like a good idea for fellowship and everything. And, of course, we're not going to call it a potluck just so we don't overdo that word, but bring your favorite snack or dessert and join us for that. So that's 6 o'clock Wednesday night, I believe. 6, right? So I think that's what we put in the bulletin. So, all right. With that, Ron, would you dismiss in a word of prayer?